pizza, organic meats, fresh salads, gluten-free options. Plus, there's a full bar with fine wines and craft beers. Open every day for lunch and dinner on the corner of Park and Carmichael Drive. Pete's Restaurant and Brewhouse. Good food, good beer. Let's eat. Thank you to Pete's. Let's start the show.
I'm Mike Clay in the last fantasy forecast of 2016.
There we go.
We're talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We're talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. We talking about practice, man.
What's going on, everybody? We are indeed talking about practice. I'm Jarrell Gilbert, alongside Derek Isumaki, as always. What's happening?
Yo, what's good?
Yo, yo. John Lucan, our producer in training. What's happening, brother?
What's up, man?
Oh, you know, not too much. Just hanging out, just doing this whole little radio thing. So we got a big show for you. We have this Lakers fiasco that we keep talking about, and then just we find out more information, and it gets juicier and crazier.
It's bloody right now.
So we're going to get into that for sure. Kaepernick took a stand last year, and now he's physically going to stand during the national anthem. We'll get into that.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yay! Pun intended. Pun intended. Thank you. The Knicks play the first half yesterday with no music and no in-game entertainment, so interesting concept. We'll get into that. Foot and mouth with Derek. We'll find out what grinds his gears as well. Joe Mixon not allowed to the combine and a whole lot of other stuff, depending on how much time we have. But first, the news of the week that broke, I mean, moments after we finished up our show last week. The KD has gone down for the Warriors. Grade 2 MCL sprain. They said they're going to reevaluate him in 4 weeks, which means... reporters just don't ask us because we don't really know for 4 weeks, so bother us then. So to begin with, obviously the Warriors lost back-to-back games before pulling out the 7-point victory in New York yesterday, and I just wanted to get your guys' feelings as far as the outlook for the rest of the season. As of this very moment, Derek, do you still think the Warriors should be thought of as the favorites to win the title this year?
I still believe so. Knowing that he probably will get back for the playoffs. If they don't have him, it's going to be a lot tougher, and I think that there are some teams that can definitely might sneak in there, even in the West. Cleveland can definitely take them down without KD, just because they lost so much to get him. So they might still have the primary pieces that they had last year. They just don't have the filler pieces that they did that made them such a good team those past 2 years. So they're... Having KD is losing one of their superstars is a bigger punch to them this year than I think it would be any other year.
Yeah, John.
Yeah, I mean, you look at KD; he's going for MVP this year. You know what I mean? He's right up there with the talk. You know, with Kawhi and Harden and Westbrook there. But you know, that's definitely going to hurt them. I don't think it's just going to be their deciding factor. I feel like like Derek says, he's going to be coming back. So if they can get him back in the playoffs, it'll be good for them. They just need to kind of find their bench, find that role player, that's going to kind of pull them through this, whether it be McCaw or Clark or whoever it needs to be. But it's also a good time because then, you get these crucial minutes come playoffs. If, one of those bench players need to be called on, they've had, excessive time for these 4 weeks, to get kind of shots up and game time.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it will help some of those bench players find a rhythm. I think the one real nice thing for the Warriors moving forward is Steph Curry has really deferred the season. And we saw this in Miami, right? When the big three in Miami got together with Bosh, Wade, and LeBron, obviously. And that first year, they really, there's times, there was flashes when you saw what this thing could really look like when they get it humming. But obviously they lost in the finals to the Mavs that year, and they just kind of looked disjointed most of the season. And I think what happened, and what often happens, is when you get superstars together that are used to more or less carrying their team, or at least having the ball in their hands a lot, they're kind of looking to share the rock a little bit more. So what you saw a lot in the beginning of the season, and not that it wasn't effective, but you saw Steph and KD kind of playing my turn, your turn, where they were kind of passing back and forth, and it wasn't necessarily coming within the rhythm of the offense. And again, it's kind of hard to tell because the Warriors have looked pretty great all season. But compared to last year, Steph Curry had the ball in his hands a lot less. I know he was like the 40. He was in the top 10 last year, and then by month two or three of the season, he was like 40 or 50th as far as ball, having the ball in his hands. And so I think this does give an opportunity for Steph to just kind of go crazy and put the team, you know, be that guy he was again.
You can see him not really being quite there yet, because those past couple of games were pretty awful, especially for him and Clay, shooting wise. And even the first half of that Knicks games were pretty awful. So you can definitely see he's trying to put that load back on, you know, feeling it, especially right off the bat, losing KD. So you see him putting up a little bit more shots. And I mean, it was interesting. He had a great moment with Steve Kerr on the sideline Knicks. And I was like, it was pretty cool. Every once in a while, those wired things on TV actually come up with some gold out there. And
yeah, well, like one in a million times. Yeah.
Every once in a while, you hear something funny, but they always, it's just like a coach talking in a huddle. It's normal stuff. It's like, oh, yeah, okay. Sure. Hey, we're running a play, guys, next time you go out in the court. Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But it's like this one was actually like a moment between two, like a player and a coach at that time. And you really see that Steph's trying to get that groove back. He hasn't had to do it this entire season just because, you know, like I said, the plethora of talent that is around him.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen it in his numbers. He's not putting up nearly as many threes as he has the past two seasons.
Right. The volume has gone down slightly. I mean, he was 11 for 24 yesterday, 5 for 13 from three. But I mean, overall, he had 6 assists. 31 points. He had a decent game, and I believe in that third quarter was it that he scored 15 or 17 points and really came alive, and that's when the Warriors made their run that the Knicks were never really able to get back over that hump at that point.
But I think the fact that even just struggling with the Knicks a little bit just goes to show you that, I mean, the Knicks are terrible.
Well, the music threw them off.
Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah.
And we'll definitely get into that here in a little bit, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely not the mark that you're used, or the standard the Warriors are used to playing to. But I think that's kind of twofold. Obviously, they just lost a huge piece in Kevin Durant. And any team that loses a player of Kevin Durant's stature is going to suffer. And the Warriors did have to get rid of a lot of key pieces off the bench last year, namely Andrew Bogut and Barbosa, who were huge off the bench last year, and Mo Buckets too. So they don't have that depth that you guys were alluding to earlier. And that's going to hurt them, but I do think it's not the end of the world. If they do get a fully healthy Kevin Durant back, I think they're going to be just fine. I do believe the Cavs pose a bit of a threat, and I thought that was just the moves they've made have helped kind of solidified their bench and their depth. But Amin El-Hassan was speaking about that earlier today on NBA Lockdown. So let's take a listen to that real quick and hear from him.
I mean, I think the issue is when you talk about LeBron, you have to acknowledge he is playing great with an unbelievable burden of minutes played and possessions used. They're wearing him down in a way that they didn't wear him down a year ago. And that ultimately was a big part of why they were able to overcome the Golden State Warriors and overcome a big lead, was because LeBron had enough in the tank to take it to a superhuman level. But every drop of energy you use today is probably mortgaging away one from the future, and you know that becomes the margins in a tough contest. So you're right, he's playing great, but there's a cost to him playing great right now.
So I thought that was an interesting point. It's one we don't hear about LeBron oftentimes because he has been pretty much superhuman. But if you guys remember last year, there's a point in the season where LeBron, I don't want to say struggling, but he wasn't playing up to LeBron standards. And everyone not everyone, but a lot of people in sports media were talking about, is this the decline? You know, all the minutes played, blah, blah, blah. And then he took that two-week South Beach break, if you guys remember. He went down, he was spotted hanging out with D. Wade.
Was that the banana boat trip?
No, that was this summer. That was...
Oh, that's right, yeah. Okay.
This was mid-season.
Right, yeah.
And not that this has anything to do with anything, but there are a lot of pharmacies down in South Beach. Anyway, they did... He spent about...
Some job a bomb and we'll walk away from that.
He did spend a lot of time down there. Reckless speculation. He spent a lot of time down there. But the point being is he basically took 2 weeks off in the middle of the season. Shortly after that, they got their doors blown off by the Warriors. Tyronn Lue took over, David Blatt was fired, and then the rest is history. And I do find that interesting that LeBron's played more minutes than anyone in the league at his age, as many years as he's put in. What is it, 6 straight trips to the finals? So you do wonder if that's going to have an effect. You saw how it affected at least Steph Curry, and the injury, the wet spot on the ground didn't help. But you saw how it really kind of affected the Warriors last year, going for that 73-win record. You could tell when they got to the finals that they were a little worn out. So I'm wondering if you guys think there's any validity to what Amin was saying there as far as just his usage rate and his minutes. Do you think that could potentially impact the playoff run for the Cavs?
I think they have to still be, they're still going to be considered the best in the East right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are some great teams out there that are coming up, but none of them quite have the panache or the star power as LeBron James. I think that's definitely something that they take for granted. They keep thinking, oh, we got LeBron James. He's the best in the world. Just put him out there and he'll do it for us, you know? And again, the guy is in his 30s, well into his 30s, and he's been playing this year since he got out of high school, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's 10-plus years he's been doing this to his body. Like I said, 6 straight trips to the finals. That's to be playing a full season and then some.
Right.
I mean, no doubt it has to affect the guy at some point. It's going to bring him down faster than he probably would want to. Because I don't think, I mean, he's going to get like much better than he is. I think he's just kind of riding his plateau, and he's trying to ride it for as long as he can. And the more minutes you put on there, that plateau is going to start coming to an end a lot quicker.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why you heard him griping this entire season, like he needs somebody else out there. And I think that was more of a cry for, hey, I can't do this right now. You're putting too much on me.
Yeah, I feel like with Kyrie coming kind of into his own, we'll give LeBron, you know, some more time to rest coming up into playoffs. It surprises me the minutes he's averaging this year. The fact that he's doing it more than anyone else at that age. But it's LeBron, you know,
right.
As much as I hate to say it, you know, the guy is, you know, freakish human, that is, defying all balance and shapes and sizes of every mass in basketball. So, I don't put him out or put it past him to pull through like he did last playoff series.
Yeah, I agree. It's hard, as much as I see where Amin's coming from, it's just really hard because we haven't seen it happen to LeBron. We haven't seen, at least physically, where you just see the breakdown in the playoffs.
And you've had some moments in there when he struggled. I mean, he always made it to the finals, at least. You never had one, like, at least in his latter year since he like left Cleveland when he went on Miami. He's pretty consistently in the finals all the time.
Right.
And, I mean, that just goes to show you that, yeah, sure, you might have him buckled in the playoffs. He's had some iffy runs and stuff. But the guy, I mean, he can still complete the team for the most part. You know, he's just, you know, always there contending at the very end.
Yeah. I mean, I do see, like I said, I see the point. I think the greater point or the thing that's hard to see is just physically. The times you're mentioning, yeah, he was off. I mean, specifically when he wasn't backing down, wasn't Jose Calderon. Who was that little Puerto Rican guy?
Jose Barea.
Yes.
Yeah, Barea.
Barea.
Yeah, on the Mavs.
And
yeah.
He would not take him to the post, and everyone was talking about that. But that wasn't like a breakdown of, you know, physical strength.
Yeah, no, it was just like a lapse
like a
of
mental,
like, yeah,
whatever.
A lapse of like just mental consistency again from, you know, again, that was his first season with this super squad.
Right.
They're still trying to figure it out. He doesn't want to like, again, I think he had this idea of like, I don't want to take over Dwayne Wade's team, even though I'm way better than him.
Sure.
You know, it's like, Dwayne, you're great, but like, you're not me, man. But I know this is your team, but just give it to me. But he's like, it was like that fighting time between them. He's like, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to be in this role. And then he kind of realized I have to be that guy. Because I am that guy.
And that was,
not to be that guy would be, like I said, we did what, I mean, how many jokes with like, he can't give you 4 quarters, you know, or something like, he can't change a dollar because he doesn't have 4 quarters in him and stuff. Like, those jokes were forever on him for that time. And Yeah.
Not forever.
Yeah, not, I mean, until it came around. Yeah, until he actually won that year. That year was a forever for him, I'm sure. It felt pretty awful.
That was when he was a zero-time champ. Now he's a three-time champ. That was also the year when he was talking about, you know, basically saying, you're broke, so don't talk about me.
Yes, that was a great time.
I mean, actually loved that quote. Like, you got to go back to being yourself, and I'm going to go back to being LeBron James, which was, as much as people hated it, I thought it was kind of gangster because it's so true.
I mean, he was, again, a guy who's just been beat down over the fact that his team lost in the finals after they had what looked like the far superior team.
It wasn't a great time.
I'm sure he was he's just batting out people. He's like, I'm swinging for the fences right now, y'all. I hate you.
So I want to move on. John, do you want to say anything before we move on that? Or
no, I'm done talking about LeBron.
Great.
That's enough for me.
Nailed it. All right, so let's get into this Lakers coup. So basically, if I have this right, Jim Buss and his brother... John.
Yeah. Johnny. Jim and Johnny.
Yes.
So great names.
They are now taking Jeannie to court.
They've tried to. Yeah, they tried to kick her off the board of directors, essentially.
Right, so they were planning this prior to Jim being removed from basketball operations, from what I understand.
Yeah, there was a lot of overlap in there. I mean, essentially, the takeover for Magic was honestly on a flip of a script, honestly. It wasn't happening, and I think they had one meeting in New York or something, and next thing you know, Magic Johnson's like, oh, you're an advisor for us. Okay, now you're taking over. Mm-hmm. And it was it just seemed like Magic was like talking to Jeannie, like, yo, I need to do this because I like this team too much to let Jim take it down the drain that he has. I mean, Jeannie's been ruthless in this time. In the court documents that have been filed right now, she's like claiming how he's has been a terrible executive here.
Didn't she put out restraining orders?
Yeah, she tried to put a restraining order and saying like how he's, and just brought every instance of how he's brought down the team and stuff. And I mean, for everyone in LA and who's been a Lakers fan, knows that Jim Buss has been the thorn in their side for the longest time.
Hold on, I'm reading an amazing quote here. So, in the court filings for this restraining order, something to note here, Jeannie said, in quotes here, Jim has already proven to be completely unfit, even in an executive vice president, or even as the executive vice president of basketball operations role. Let's see here.
Yeah, she's...
I mean, that's good
enough. I mean, that's... Again, these are brother and sister right now, which is... It's always... That adds a little bit more, you know...
Right.
Makes sibling it more rivalry right there. Now, you know? And Jim's been kicked out, and they're fighting their way... Trying to fight their way back in. And from what it sounds... I mean, from the get-go, it was always supposed to be Jeannie's team. You know, like, the way that Dr. Buss had it designed, it was going to go to Jeannie from the... Like, that's at least what she's claiming.
Yeah.
And...
Because she's in control of the trust,
yes,
from what I understand.
Yes.
So she is more or less the point person for...
She trusted her the most, is pretty much what it
was.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
Because she's probably the most level-headed person and realized that I was given a great thing, that doesn't mean I deserve it, you know?
Well, I love how Jim went and got his brother too. You know, it's like Johnny's not even really
doing this again, man. Okay, it's been like this our entire lives.
We gotta stand up for ourselves.
Yeah, I don't know. I find the whole thing interesting, and on a macro level, this happens every day in the U.S. for sure, and I'm sure worldwide when dad or mom
going after brothers and stuff.
No. When dad or mom or someone in the family, you know, your parents pass. They own some type of enterprise, some type of business.
Yeah. Right.
And oftentimes there's, you know, for those of us who have siblings.
Greed brings out the worst in all of us.
Yeah, okay, grief and also greed.
Greed.
Yeah, and so this happens.
Grief too, maybe, I don't know. I feel like greed is more of a...
Yeah, no, that's easier to point to. I agree there. But I think on a macro level, I find it interesting because these things do happen every day. And we all, for those of us who have siblings, there's always kind of the smart one, the level-headed one, the crazy one. You know what I'm talking about. I mean,
yeah. I mean, you don't have any, but I do. I have three sisters.
I have a sister. She's the smart one and the accomplished one.
That's true. Yeah, I guess you do.
The responsible one.
I did forget about your sister. Yeah, because she's like complete opposite of you.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I have two older ones, but they could potentially be listening right now, so I'm just going to leave it at
that. Yeah, that's very smart.
I don't know which is which.
I mean, you've met my sisters. We're all aware of our roles in our lives.
Right.
We know. I don't need to tell you. Yeah, you know your role.
Yeah, but I just find this kind of funny because obviously Jim and Johnny were not entrusted to run the organization by their father. And it's for reasons like this. And Jim, it does not help when you wear a leisure suit with a baseball cap everywhere. So
I don't get him.
I don't get the look at all. I think
it's a guy that got something really big when he was a kid, and he realized, like, he just thought he deserved it right off the bat. He didn't really earn it at all.
Right.
And he's just like, ugh. I can dress however I want, look like a doofus.
And you see the problems it's leading to. And I just think it's going to be a soap opera drama that's going to give us plenty to talk about. And so thank you to the Lakers, because it's about to get real, real slow for the next couple weeks. Actually, we have college basketball.
Yeah,
we have,
right?
March Madness.
March Madness is coming in right now.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
There's actually, it's going to be playing in Sacramento. Some of the games are.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about maybe getting myself down there.
Yeah, we should definitely figure.
Those are supposed to be a great time.
Can we get some, right? Come on.
We're a sports show. We should be covering for the people. They need to know.
We should absolutely get media passes.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. So
we need to talk to Rick.
Yeah, we need to figure that out. Rick, if you're listening, can you hook
We'll get you guys some amazing sounds, some amazing imaging from there, guys.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
We'll make you feel like you were there with us by the ears.
All right. So that's enough on the Lakers. I'm sure, like I said, we're going to have plenty to talk about with them over the next weeks and months as we do the show. But I wanted to talk about something the Knicks did yesterday besides lose again. And this is not Charles Oakley related whatsoever, but I did want to talk about this. The Knicks decided not to play any in-game music during the first half or have any in-game entertainment. And I have a couple takes on this, but before, I've been talking too much. So, John, thoughts?
Oh my gosh. I don't even know what to think. It's interesting, the sounds of basketball when the Knicks tell you how fun it's going to be and all you're really hearing is people screaming every time they get close to the rim and squeaks of shoes. I had to mute it for the first half. That's what it was to me. It was just guys playing to no sound whatsoever, because just the whistle, the crying, and the squeaks still haunt my nightmares.
Don't get me wrong, it was very boring. It honestly made the basketball just seem lackluster. And here's the reason why. I talked about this off air with you.
Yeah.
Fans in American sports, for the most part, are awful. We are so lazy. We just sit there and just take it in. We don't do anything to, like, we might go with a wave every once in a while, or, hey, let me get a computer generated charge going on there, or something like that. You know, oh, yeah, I'm part of the team, but then I'm going to shut up when you don't tell me to do anything.
Yeah.
Nothing is on your own initiative except the wave for some reason. But I'm just saying, if fans actually got into it, like they do over in Europe, when you watch a football match and you're listening to, like, let's say you're in Liverpool right now, those fans are awesome. They're singing the entire time.
Yeah.
You don't need any music. Imagine if that was going on, like you had like that type of crowd where it's just the fans are singing, playing all these great little songs right now. I showed you this clip the other day, this little chant that they do for the Southampton striker they just acquired. Great little chant that they do. And they were singing it all the time. They would do that during the games and stuff, whenever you score a goal or try to get them to score a goal. And the fact that, like, we're lazy. And that's what I'm just coming to.
Lazy sports fans.
Yeah. Sorry, that was poor. That's kind of like a grinds my gears moment right now. It really is. Because it just came into it natural
right now.
Let's see if I could get this sound for us.
It would have been awesome just to, yeah.
No, I can't. All right.
Does it work that way?
No, apparently not.
It's not how the system works.
Wait, there it is.
Wait.
See, exactly.
That's good stuff. Yeah. That's good stuff.
You couldn't quite understand it. It says, Les Reed went to Europe to buy a Lamborghini. Instead, he bought a striker. His name is Gabbadini. Yeah, it's great. Like, they come up with something awesome. Like, imagine if you just hear that. That's what we were listening to. Instead of those squeaks, maybe you hear that intermittently, no doubt. But imagine if, like, that's what your first half was fans chanting, singing along, doing something crazy
At least heckling.
Yeah, like, you know? Honestly, one thing I will tell you, the one thing I love about our sports is the Atlanta Tomahawk chant. Like, you get that going in there, that's like one of the things that gets me riled up a lot. Like, imagine if they started doing something like that. Just, it makes the sounds more, and just don't, they're just sitting there watching a game. That's so boring. Like, do something, liven it up.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, that is what I feel, guys.
It would be great, though, if the one chant that really got you going wasn't one bit, you know, based in racism, but that's okay.
Okay, we're going to say that Tomahawk chant is racist?
No, oh. I'm not saying the chant itself is. You know what I'm trying
yeah,
to say.
Yeah, I really... yes, okay. I'm just saying the... Yeah, come on.
No, it's fun, yeah. For sure. I think...
I remember those 90s Braves playoff games.
Yeah, yeah. I think the one place where you do find... energy similar to that overseas in soccer is occasionally in college sports. You were talking about that one team that does the Silent Night, which is a really, really cool idea. Can
That's
you explain
really cool.
that real cool?
There's this
really quick?
Small little private Christian college that does this right around Christmas time. They do a night where it's called Silent Night, where everyone comes into the stadium dressed up in like costumes and whatnot, kind of like Halloween-esque, but pretty much for the first part of the game, they're silent. No one says anything until they score 10 points. And when they score their 10th point, their team does. The fans go crazy. They storm the court. It's honestly this really cool wow. thing. So, like, you'll be watching the sounds of the game, and then there's that one quick eruption. And it's kind of it's become a really big tradition for this school right now. I cannot remember the name of it. It's going to annoy me. But they've been undefeated on that night ever since they started doing it. So it's a nice, cool little tradition. And again, something like that, like we don't have that in professional sports. We're really just kind of looking for it to come to us. Like I said, college does have that. You see over in Arizona State, they have their like that wall that they do whenever they're doing free throws and stuff, like the curtain of death or something they call it, where like they'll pop open a curtain and somebody will pop out doing in some type of ridiculous garb doing some ridiculous dance.
Yeah.
So there's definitely that, because the passion's there. Like, that's your school. You know, I got nothing better to do. I'm probably drunk at this game. I'm probably going to do something crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And it's Taylor University.
Taylor University.
Taylor University.
Thank you.
There we go. Right on.
Producer coming into handy.
Yeah. You're already killing it, John. No, I completely agree. I think that... for me, the in-game entertainment, for example, going to Warriors games, catching a shirt was awesome. They have the little helicopters. I'm sure they use drones now that would fly above.
Oh, you had that? We just had the t-shirt gun.
No, we had. That's lame. They had guns, but they would have like... or no, they would parachute them. They would do the little catwalk up top and throw t-shirts. And once I got a large pizza. In one game, I got a
large
t-shirt.
Pizza?
They dropped pizzas. So if you caught the box, they came and brought you
okay. Okay. I was like, that's...
yeah, no, that'd be a little
safe.
Dangerous, right?
I like the idea, though, right now. It's yeah. It's like a, it's mine.
But in one game, I was on the Jumbotron twice. Once was on the Kiss Cam. I won a t-shirt and a pizza. So it was like, man, this is awesome. The $4 million I paid for these tickets was worth it.
I was going to say, every professional game I've ever been to, I've only been on the Jumbotron one time, and it was at a WNBA game.
That's great.
Right? Like, I've
you're
been to
one
a lot
of, the,
of
them. Well, I mean, that makes sense, because you're one of 60 people.
Probably. So they had to get to me eventually. Like, okay, we can't show this guy again. We know what he looks
non-family
like.
Non-family members.
Yeah, but, right.
Like, I was there with my dad one game. We won tickets a long time ago, and that was... I was like, oh, yeah, I made the Jumbotron one time, but yeah.
By the way, that was no shade to women's basketball.
No, it's not.
I'm simply saying not a lot of people go to...
especially back
games.
Then. It was a forum. It's a small place.
Yeah, it was before we got on here, I was kind of going through scores, and did you see the ladies UConn score at halftime was 65-23. They're playing the number 3 team in the country.
Wow. I was honestly wanting to talk about, like, do you think there's like a legitimate possibility to say that Gino Auriemma is like the best college basketball coach ever?
That's a definite good argument.
I mean, you might... if you're going to say he's the best woman, he's probably easily the best women's college basketball. But the fact that he's been able to maintain as good as like UConn's been,
right.
Like, that just shows that his recruiting
ability.
I mean, all
ability, around. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's like a Nick Saban with recruiting, with everything. I mean,
you have to think, too, it's a lot more difficult to recruit in women's basketball because talent, the pool is so much smaller,
right.
You know? And like, you're competing with still the same, pretty much the same schools, but...
I think that's a great argument, and I mean, I think the only counter is men's basketball is more competitive. But the reason it's more competitive is because there is a smaller talent pool in
women's
basketball,
yeah.
As you were just mentioning. So the fact that he has been able to recruit year in, year out, and just, I mean.
He turns out, I mean, I know women's basketball in college because of Gino Auriemma.
Right.
Pretty much what I'm going to say.
Well, and the craziest thing, too, is you got to think the years he's getting because he's getting pretty much every number one recruit in the country at any given position he wants.
Pretty much.
So you got to think for that draft class, the next couple years, those number one recruits aren't going to want to go play play those positions, obviously at UConn, so they're going to go somewhere else. So he still maintains every, you know, few years of getting that draft, that recruitment class. So,
I mean, it definitely shows he's got some talent, special talent that, you know, not many men have to be able to talk with women like that, you know? Like, not every guy can do that.
Right, true coach.
You know, exactly.
Cause he's got game.
Something, man. There's got to be something. He's good. I really do wonder what he was like back in the day, you know? Or maybe it's just something that comes to him in age and stuff. And he's, we're thinking terribly
of
the man.
That's for another day.
Yeah, absolutely. This is FM 90.1 KZFR, Chico, California. We are listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Again, this is Talking About Practice. Jarrell Gilbert, John Lucan, Derek Usamaki. Derek, I believe you have some underwriting. Do you have some news as well?
I do have a little bit of news right now. I had to keep it a little short because...
Because you took a nap?
Yeah, I took a nap. Yeah, I had the longest weekend. So, that all of the
above.
At least
you're honest.
Okay, Talking About Practice is made possible by the new generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Pearson Road Collision Repair, an independent certified body shop with over 30 years experience. Pearson Road Collision Repair handles insurance claims with knowledgeable and skilled technicians, putting you back on the road safely in a record time. At 119 Pearson Road in Paradise, they also perform automotive restoration on old ride side, turning your dream car into a reality. More information by calling 872-5627 or at PearsonRoadCollisionRepair.com. Yes. Thank you, Pearson Road. We appreciate your help right there. Now, in the news world right now, got to give a big shout out to Steph Curry as he broke into the top 10 all-time three-pointers made in a career, which is kind of ridiculous because the guy hasn't even played double-digit years in the NBA. And you look at the list of everyone that's around him, it's like 18 years, 17 years. Chauncey Billups, he just passed Chauncey and Kobe to pretty much crack into the top 10 right now. And again, you probably have to admit he's like 1,100 three-pointers behind Ray Allen. And he... like I said, it's going to probably pass him. You have to think. The guy's 100%. The guy's such a good shot.
Yeah. And he has the ultimate green light, which helps.
Exactly. Yeah. Because he actually makes the most of the time. John Ross broke Chris Johnson's 40 record at the Combine, breaking at 4.22. However, he did it in Nikes.
Yeah.
Not the acquired Adidas to get the island.
He could have his own island right now. Like, what do you think Nike gave him for that? Nike had to give him something.
So I feel like he had to do something. Like, because everyone's competing for that right now to be able to have your shoe on somebody's feet right now.
Right.
Like, so Adidas was going for it, which is a great idea. Like, why not go for it? I might have a chance. But I really wondered, what was this island? Like, what was on it? Like, was it just like, oh, this is where we dump all our trash, but it's yours now, man. Do it as you please. Yeah. You know, like, make something of it. Does it have, like, a house on there or something? Like, do you have to build it up yourself?
Yeah.
So many questions come from
that.
Well,
plus it was up in Canada, and as I mentioned last week, being half myself, brothers ain't too fond of the cold.
So. Right?
I mean, if it was in the Bahamas, in the Caribbean, you know, off the coast of Africa, now we're talking, but... You know.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, you think maybe in Barbados, I'm thinking in your time, like, in the Caribbean. Hey, like, hey, man, living la vida loca, man. Like, come on. this actually just came into me right now. Andrew Bogut, in his debut for the Cavs, broke his tibia.
Yep.
So that's not good.
Man.
You can imagine he's probably not going to be coming back for them, which was he actually going to be a big piece for them.
I feel like he would have been a big contributor for
him. I mean, not to mention they had Deron Williams, another good backup point guard, and get Bogut, who's experienced.
Great passer.
Yeah, great passer. Been to the finals many times. He knows what's up. He broke his tibia, so he's out. So that's unfortunately not in the books for him this time with the Cavs. Wishing him the best of luck, though. Yeah. I want to give a shout out to this guy in Japan right now. They're calling him the Babe Ruth in Japan. His name is Shohei Ohtani. He's the best player not in the MLB, what we're saying. He can throw 100 miles per hour, and he hits home runs too. So he's doing it all. Like, he really is like what Babe Ruth, but just, you know, actually hitting 100. So good for him. Hopefully, I'm guessing he's going to be in the MLB soon. We got the money. Everyone wants to come to the MLB because, let's face it, the money is here and the eyes are as well. That's it for me in the news right now. Like I said, Kiss
Thank you,
sure.
Son.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that works.
Some of that was very much on the fly, too. So
yeah. You guys know what's up.
Must have been a good nap.
Yeah, you got to break some news, though. That's always fun.
Yeah, right. I've never done that before. Who? Catch all my
breaking news.
Yeah.
He couldn't tell, but he touched his ear when he did the breaking news.
This just in.
Once again, you're listening to Talking About Practice on FM 90.1 KZFR, broadcasting live and direct from downtown Chico, California. I did want to mention Kaepernick. Last week, he opted out of his contract with the San Francisco 49ers, which to me basically sounds like he quit on his job, and can't really blame him. That organization has been in a lot of turmoil the last 2 years. And
Do you think Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch would want him there?
Well, who knows? Who knows what to believe, because Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch came out of the meeting saying it was a great meeting, blah, blah, blah. And maybe it was a great meeting because Cap was like, I don't want to be here anymore. And they're
they
like,
wanted?
Cool, us too. Yeah.
So, mutual splittings.
A lot of the criticism has been Cap isn't going to take a knee anymore because he's looking for a job, to which I say, duh. All of us know, we all have a I need to get a job voice.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? I'm currently looking for a new full-time position, and so when I answer my phone to a number I don't recognize, it's always, hello, this is Jero speaking. If you call
what
me...
What up?
Yeah, what's good?
Yo.
What's cracking?
Yeah, something you know? Like that. Yeah, yeah.
But we all put up with stuff at work that normally we wouldn't put up with. And So I find that criticism interesting. I was listening to The Right Time with Bomani Jones on ESPN Radio last week, and let's take a listen to what he had to say on the matter.
Problem if he decided I need to find a job, so I'm going to stand for the national anthem now. What? Like, is what it is that you're saying? Is what you're saying that basically his statement didn't matter unless he was willing to incur a significant amount of loss? Because that feels like what the point ultimately is that people have. No, it's not enough for Kaepernick to be a pinata nationally for people to beat on over and over again. It's not enough that in spite of him giving seven figures of his own money and going out on this grind and doing all this stuff. No. That's not good enough. It's only good enough if he continues to kneel for the national anthem to the point that he does not have a job, by the way, that gives him a certain level of publicity that is better for the larger platform. Guys, you're going to tell on yourself about this. Those of you who were upset that he kneeled in the first place, how can you have a problem with him deciding to stop? Right? Those of you who were on board with him kneeling on the first place, the question is, why were you on board with him kneeling? Why were you on board, right? Because what I think happened for a lot of people, they were less on board with the idea of him kneeling during the national anthem than they were kind of protectors of his right to do so, right? So you defend his right to do so. This becomes an issue, basically a constitutional issue. Once you do that, right? Once you position yourself in that way, it becomes a constitutional issue because you're defending his American right, which means that in reality, what you're defending there, you're not really riding for Kaepernick or any cause that he had. You're actually then riding for America, right? You're riding for that larger principle, which then, by the way, allows you to deal with him kneeling in a way that you can pat yourself on the back for, but you never actually deal with the cause that he was talking about in the first place, right? So if you are one of those people that's like, well, how come he didn't keep doing it? How come he didn't keep standing? He's not standing for this anymore. Where were you on the issue that he kneeled for?
So there's a lot to digest there, and we don't have to hit every point because I think he made a pretty sound argument there. But your first reaction, you said you've heard the sound before.
Yeah, I did. I tried to do some, research. I know you wanted to drop the sound bite, so I wanted to listen to it. I do some things before the show, okay? Like, so I got my grinds, my gear set up. But, I agree with him in that faction that, I mean, him sitting here standing doesn't stop the issue. Doesn't stop his topic that he's trying to go for. I understand he's very passionate about this issue, and if he is, keep pursuing it. He's going to continue pursuing it in his free time. But like I said, right now I feel him sitting for the national anthem is not going to, like I said, the weight of there I don't think is necessary for him to continue doing that. He's already started that conversation that he wanted to get started right now, and he's still following up with it right now. And I think that there is, an you know, granted, there hasn't been as many instances happening in the past that have come to, you know, attention from the national news. So we kind of have to think that things have kind of quelled down a little bit.
Yeah.
Some things do spike up here and there, and there are definitely instances, you know, select instances that, you know, of racism in police forces that are still happening. But
absolutely,
there's definitely, I think, you know, we're trying to get past that, and it's still something that's come to our minds. And him kneeling is just, I think it's just kind of, you know, being down the dead horse right now.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, it doesn't change anything what he's done already.
I was going to play some more Bomani sound here, but being that we only have 20 minutes of the show left, I think I'll pass. But the sound I was going to play is Bomani was saying exactly that. Whatever this stand that Kaepernick was trying to make by kneeling, whatever effect it was going to have, it's had.
Yeah,
you know, right. I don't know that him kneeling is going to, it's not going to be the big shockwave that it was when it first happened.
It really would just be like an annoyance, really, to the team. Like, more so, become more of an annoyance to the team.
More of a distraction than actually. Like,
everyone keeps handing it. We've already had the conversation before. We already know what he's doing it for.
Yeah.
We don't, you know, it's just people put so much power into so little things. It's like, it happened, yeah, but, you know, the power is still there. Like, you doesn't detract from it, you know, from him not doing it anymore.
Yeah, I think it's funny that some people you hear, it's like you expect him to kneel for the rest of his career.
Right.
I mean, it's like he'd win a whole season. He did what he did. What I think is a great point that Derek brought up is he got the conversation started.
Yep.
You know, especially through the conversation of athletes and their platform. You know, and since then, a lot of people, a lot of athletes in general have stepped up.
Yeah.
Just based off his actions. So I commend him for it, and, you know, don't hate on him for standing back up. I mean, you got to eat, right?
Right. And yeah. I think one faction that we're not talking about here in regards to the whole Kaepernick issue is the way sports media has covered it. They covered him kneeling and the effect that it may have had on the Niners and on the NFL and blah, blah, blah. But very seldom did I hear sports media going into what the cause was, why Kaepernick would feel compelled to do so. And then there was a meeting with Congress where Anquan Boldin was one of the players that actually went to Congress and got to speak to Congress about some of these issues in the African-American community. And that was hardly discussed at all. And that's kind of a big, big deal. And that happened on the heels of Kaepernick kneeling. And I think that sports media needs to do a better job and stop worrying about so much getting clicks and actually covering stories that are important and not just ones that are juicy. And that's kind of the world we live in today, where
no doubt
the information
rule at all.
Yeah, the information we're getting isn't so much necessary oftentimes. It's what is juicy or, you know, things like that. And
that often, like I said, when you do that, focus it on like minute details many times, and that becomes like the overarching picture. Many of us paint our, you know, world picture based on the headlines, when it's just like an outlier effect sometimes. And that's something you definitely have to be careful of many times when you look at, when you're getting your news and stuff, is, you know, what else is going on out there, is because you have to have a balance of resources, I feel, where you get your information from. Because if you're looking at just one source the entire time, you're missing a picture, you know. And if you continue having that, and because so many times you just, they highlight certain instances and we think, oh my gosh, that's how this world, this is how this country is, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, it's not always the case.
Yeah, I completely agree. Media, not just sports media, but in general, they need to do a better job. We are in very interesting times regarding journalistic standards and all those types of things, with the rush to get, be first instead of being accurate.
Oh yeah.
And it's
it really is kind of like,
when
like,
you have
the primary goal is like, I got to be the first one to say this, whether it's like really all true or not.
Right. And when you have the president of the United States coming out, and I'm not just talking about Trump, Obama alluded to this before he left the office, and talking about fake news and how it's an issue. And now it's becoming an issue when entities who aren't necessarily fake news are being called fake news by the president. It's just, it's interesting.
ESPN,
times.
You are fake news. Yeah, I can't wait for that. You do a terrible job of covering the athletes and their problems. Fake news.
So I don't know. I'm sure we'll have plenty more to talk about. I hope Cap finds a home where he can thrive in.
Do you think he is? Like, what do you think is,
let's
like,
realistically think who's in a need for a Kaepernick?
Denver?
Don't say that.
You really don't want
I'm
that?
I'm a Denver fan, so okay. I don't necessarily want that.
I mean, do you think he's... I mean, would you consider him, if you're a GM right now...
Who would you rather have? Who would you rather go for, Romo or Kaepernick?
I'd probably go for Romo.
So, and then the off chance you don't get Romo, you go after
Well,
Kaepernick.
Depends who you are, right? If you're Denver, you're trying to win now.
I mean, I think the Texans have a chance of being able to win now.
Yeah.
And I think... I don't know. Romo has that potential of winning now. So did Kaepernick as well, because he's won. But, I mean, he's had a lot of issues. His arm throwing has become a situation. And again, he just is inconsistent to play this
His
past
arm
year.
Throwing has been an issue. His,
good what analysis. Is
his arm strength.
There we go.
That's what I meant to say. Yeah. Me no talking.
I don't know. He had 16 touchdowns against 4 interceptions last year. He was, aside from the kneeling and all that, and all the extra attention he got, he was one of the very few more or less bright spots. Again, he did have a game without a completion as well. So there was that, and I think I would be remiss to not bring that up. It would not be a fair.
Didn't he have a game with more interceptions than yards thrown? I think he had like 5 interceptions and 4 yards.
Was that the Miami game?
I'm pretty
well,
sure.
Well, being that he had 4 interceptions all season long, and the Miami game definitely was not...
No, that was his good game.
Yeah,
that was his
good game. He was accountable for 4 touchdowns, ran for 2, ran for 100 yards.
I know there was one. Wait, was it... No. Was it Ryan Fitzpatrick that had more interceptions?
Is that who I'm thinking of?
He had more interceptions than completions in a game. It's all good.
Sorry, Kaepernick.
Yeah. No, but I do think there's going to be some suitors for him. Absolutely. I mean, if they're talking about that kid, oh my God, what's his name? Not McElroy. Oh my God.
Which are you talking about?
He's the backup for Tampa Bay.
Mike Glennon.
Mike Glennon, thank you. They're saying he's going to make $15 million this year, and someone's going to bring him in to be a starter. If Mike Glennon can make that, Kaepernick, definitely there's a team that can find...
Well, Tampa Bay offered him, I think, 12 to be their backup.
For Mike Glennon.
I mean, $12 million
a year
for a
that's pretty good. Like, you never know. Mike Glennon's not that good. It was a pretty decent shot. You might be able to get your foot into the door at that point. Like, you might as well go for a spot that's like have a quarterback. If you really want to start playing... Go for some place that's like, Magdalene's not great. I know him. He's good. He's done okay. He's won games, but he's not.
He got replaced by Josh McCown. That's all we need to say.
I mean, Josh McCown's replaced a lot of people in the league, and he's got himself replaced. So, like, everyone gets replaced at some point in time.
Yeah.
Tom Brady will eventually.
No.
He just faded gracefully into the dark.
Well, there will no doubt be some suitors for Cap. It'll be interesting what the right situation will be for him, but we'll find out. Free agency in the NFL starts tomorrow, I think. So
isn't the combine over now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like,
I believe it starts. I believe it starts tomorrow. So.
Yeah, I don't think you'll get real talk until after the draft. I feel like for at least for Kaepernick, you know.
Well, here's something that's always bothered me. This would be a grinds my gear segment for the NFL. Why do they have free agency begin before the draft begins? It seems.
I guess maybe you'd rather have someone who's a seasoned vet than pick up a rookie. So then you kind of formulate how you're going to go after your draft. Like, oh, okay, we didn't get this in our free agent
market. I think the
market.
Impact would be greater the other way. Don't you think?
Like, yeah, but there's those couple, Andrew Luck, Jadeveon Clowney, those couple that you're like, okay, this is guaranteed going to be success in the NFL. But you look at some and it's a crapshoot on some of these guys.
Absolutely.
Some of these guys are, and you look at the reverse side of it, these undrafted free agents, that come in, and become, Super Bowl champ, MVPs, crazy. So you got to. Yeah, I feel like they have it set up perfect where you kind of go through your free agency and kind of dictate what you're going to do in the draft.
If you're going to go after people, you'd rather have people that have been in the league before. Like, oh, we need cornerbacks, right?
Yeah.
Unless you're like,
exactly.
You're like,
well,
yeah.
I actually disagree with that. It's cheaper to get rookies. And part of what the conversation's been with NFL recently and kind of the reason people are saying the product has been not as great. I mean, because we could all admit the last 5 years, the regular season has been pretty terrible. We were talking about it when the season ended. It was hard for us to point out a memorable regular season game. We had the Pittsburgh and Cowboys game and maybe one or two others. There's a couple, but nothing really that stood out. And I think, so the argument is, because it is so much cheaper for these guys on their rookie contracts, you get these guys starters for 4 years, $5 million, where you're paying, someone on their second contract anywhere from five to, a medium guy, $5 to $10 million a year. I mean, it just...
The question I pose to you is how many Super Bowl winning teams are doing that, you know, having rookies as their guys that they go to primarily.
No, but, I mean, the Patriots, they have a lot of guys on rookie contracts, and then they dump them. You know,
yeah, but they also get a bunch of guys in free agency as well who've been kind of tossed
but
away.
I'm saying I think they do the best job of pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Kind of balancing between free agency, drafting. But the point is the NFL is really trending towards let's get these guys in younger and cheaper, and then you can overpay for Kirk Cousins, which as real quick side note, there's only about
nice little jab there.
we don't have a lot of time left, but I have to get this out there because I want help from our listeners. So I've been a lifelong Niners fan, and the past, I don't know, besides the 2 years with Harbaugh when we're going to championship games, the past 15, 20 years have been pretty rough. And I'm at a point now where I think if we get Kirk Cousins, who is kind of the bane of my existence besides Alex Smith when it comes to quarterbacks in the NFL, I think it's time for me to walk, man. I think it's time for me to get off that narcotic. It's time for me to just not be, to be an impartial fan. And I just don't know, I don't know how to handle this.
You don't like that?
Wow.
I'm fed up, man.
I'm shocked.
Really, when
I'm not a Niners fan, so I don't like hair. So it's like, I'm just like, I like
Niners,
watching it.
When the Niners moved to Santa Clara, that was the beginning of the end for me.
That's when it started for you.
That's when it really started. Personally, I'm not a big fan of the South Bay. Shout out to San Jose. I spent time there. I lived there for a little bit. Not a big fan of it. They shouldn't be called the San Francisco 49ers anymore because they play in a parking lot next to Great America. And I hate Jed York. And, you know, this whole Kyle Shanahan John Lynch pickup really bothered me, and I just feel if we do this one last thing, if we bring in Kirk Cousins, who I've been railing against for the last 2 years on this show, well, which used to be Say Hey and Jake show, but point being, I think that might be the last straw.
But let me pose you this question.
Yes.
So Kirk Cousins comes in,
mm-hmm.
they win a Super Bowl.
That ain't happening.
But yeah, dude, that's a great one.
Do you go back to being a fan?
No. I think I'll just drop it because, I mean, look, I was there, man. I had to sit through that Seattle game when the refs absolutely blew it for us, and that was rough. I was there when we had to go into when we were playing Baltimore, and we throw four fades to end the game. We've been through a lot. And I just don't know how much more of this I could take, you know?
Y'all got six championships.
Five. We got five.
Yeah. Silencio, por favor, okay?
But oh the last goodness. One was in 95.
Yeah, whoop-de-doo. 95.
It's been 22 years.
You were pretty old during 95.
Yeah, I was like 39.
You remember that clearly. You know, that was vivid times for you. Prime time life right now.
Yeah, I was on my second wife. That was good. Good life back then. All right, let's move on. You want to do your foot and mouth?
Yeah, sure. I got a foot and mouth for all.
All right, let's get into this.
And now it's time we take a deep dive into the world of soccer. With the man responsible for such flashes of brilliance as
39 was last year, and he could barely like throw a ball out at a barnside.
It's time for Derek Izumaki's foot in mouth.
It has nothing to do with song, but okay, it works. Foot in mouth, y'all. It's a perfect title for my segment. I came up with it a few years ago. I've run with it for some time. It's going places. I really feel I'm going to get this on like ESPN or something. This straight segment of foot and mouth. It's just going to be my buffoonery talking. Foot and mouth, guys. This week starts Champions League play again. Great time to pick up soccer if you're not a fan at all. This round has been awesome. We've been having goals everywhere. Like, we got a great game coming tomorrow. We got Real Madrid going up against Napoli. They started at 11:45. We also, on Wednesday as well, it picks up. We got Barcelona, PSG. Champions League is the highlight of soccer. That's the pinnacle of any soccer player's success other than the World Cup. It only happens every 4 years. This is pretty much like the Champions League final is a Super Bowl for soccer. We have a ton of people that watch the Super Bowl here, correct? About 100 million people or so. Yeah, the Champions League final gets over 300 million views, you know, so it dwarfs what the Super Bowl does. So it's the best of the best in Europe, European soccer right now. So I would highly recommend picking it up because, like I said, they've been phenomenal games. I've been on it, honestly. People say that soccer is not fun. I do not like those people. They don't understand the game because I'm telling you, 2 hours of your time, your game's over for sure. Like, no more. You're not going any more than 2 hours. When you're watching any other sport in America, it's at least 3 hours of your time. If you're lucky, you might get a baseball game in 2 hours and 45 minutes. You know, that's like a beautiful thing right there. You know, I love those baseball games. But no, you get 4 hour dragged on stuff. No, this was 2 hours, you're done. 45 minutes straight of uninterrupted play, a 15 minute break to go to the bathroom, grab your brews, fill up the fluids, or release the fluids, whatever. And then another 45 minutes of uninterrupted play. Soccer is the best, y'all. I highly recommend it. I don't preach it enough on here. Y'all cut me short. I'm running it with it today, though. All soccer love.
I'm going to go home.
Oh, wow. I was really silent, but yeah, I heard that, it in
that
the
didn't
background.
Work out. Yeah, that didn't work out at all. I just want to... I'm curious, Derek. Every segment of yours today seems like it grinds my gears.
So I guess that's what you get when you get a guy who just woke up from a nap. He's just
had a long weekend.
World right now, you know? I had a long night last night.
Understood.
Not much sleep.
All right.
Yeah.
You had to work last night?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Hmm.
Fun times. It was a good night, though. Made some money.
What time are the games tomorrow for people out there that want to check them out?
11:45 a.m., so right in the middle of your day. Those are the best times, you know, to pick up a brew and watch soccer. 11:45.
We'll be watching it.
Yeah, we will be. Yeah, definitely. Thank God for my night job.
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed a couple weeks ago. We watched the PSG-Barcelona game. And I don't know, it's something... You brought up a couple good points. I love that the play is uninterrupted by commercials, and you kind of know what you're in for. You know you're not going to be there for more than 2 hours. You're in, you're out, you move on with your day. And there's something kind of fun about having, if you have the time off, to have a game in the middle of the week and something to do. Because, yeah. I mean, most games we're watching, whether it's baseball or basketball, you know, there's 7 p.m. starts on the West Coast, you know, 4 or 5 p.m. on the East Coast for us out here, at least. You know, so it's after you get home from work, it's kind of something you do. This is kind of cool. And if you are super passionate about a team and you take the day off work, like I know some people are doing, shouts out to my man Buckman back home.
Is he? Word to Buckman.
Yeah. Which is...
I'm doing that on Wednesday.
It's just a smooth move to be able to take off work to watch games and drink beer. So,
aren't the best games in baseball the ones that are during the day? Like when you can play hooky from school or work?
Yeah, absolutely.
Those are the best. Yeah, yeah. So this is kind of like that. And it's a nice little gateway.
Day games are baseball to me. You know? Like there's nothing better to me than...
I will say in the Bay it's a lot nicer, your day games. Our day games are kind of hot.
Yeah, in the Bay, it's rarely ever hot. even though just sitting out there in the direct sun, you do start to burn up after a little time. But
you still get that breeze, though, that comes in pretty consistently.
Bro, 82 degrees, it gets sweltering.
Everyone here in Chico's like,
you get
what?
Those tops of the knee sunburns. Those are the worst.
Yeah.
Those are the
worst. Yeah, half black. So.
No, I'm sorry about that.
Don't be. It's here, great. Man, you know? It's great.
He feels sorry for you, though.
3 minutes left in the show. You want to bang out a bunch of Grinds My Gears if you can, or at least
some real Grinds My Gears, guys. Not the ones that have been playing
the unofficials. The ones that really drive you crazy.
Oh, yeah. These ones have been, I've beaten up for a while right now. I'm only going to do a few of them. I'm going to save some of them because it's...
Yeah, you are. We only have 2 minutes left.
Yeah. Okay. So what you know really grinds my gears, guys, if you have a cell phone and you have the message that still's on, like when you don't answer your phone, it says, please leave your message at the end of the beep. We all know to do that. Don't put us through that pain. If I want to leave you a voicemail, because sometimes those are fun to get, like a fun voicemail for someone like, hey, I haven't talked to you about, blah, 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 you know, something like that. I don't want to go through the process of having to hear that lady tell me, wait for the tone to leave your message. I know what to do. We've been doing it for years. On years, we know what happens at the beep. We don't need you telling us anymore. So if you have it on your phone right now, get rid of it. Because you're going to miss out on some valuable voicemails that be coming your way. That other note, people who leave voicemails and say, hey, call me back. I know to call you back. You have caller ID now, guys. Those are annoying. Okay. Another one that grinds my gears. People that stand too close to you in the grocery store line. Like, yo.
Yes.
My man.
That's a great one, actually.
Personal space, y'all. Know it, live it, love it. I'm going to tell you right now, 4 feet. Okay? That's a personal space. I want to be able to, I'm not going to say I want to put my hands all right, but I want to be able to like elbow space, you know, a little twisty room. I got to have that. But no, when you're just standing right up on me, dude, whoa.
Back up.
Back up a little bit.
I feel you on that 100%. And
I think I'm going to start, you know, when they do that, just turn around and face them, go nose to nose. Like, hey, what's up? You know, blow a little something in their face, hopefully have some onion breath on me and just make them feel it.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm good with that.
Yeah, it's a good grind my gears, I feel.
I wanted to get one in, but we don't have time. Keep going, brother.
Okay, all right. Last one for me right now.
30 seconds.
Another one that people that try to strike up conversations in the worst places, primarily urinals. Yeah. Yo, dog, we're peeing. No need to exchange life stories. I don't need to know about your day. I'm just trying to drain out and go, okay?
Yep.
Don't talk to me.
That reminds me of the story that we've talked about when someone approached Jay Cutler at the urinal and said, I was such a big fan of yours at when you were at Vanderbilt, and he just tipped his head back and yelled out, don't care! Perfect. It's perfect.
You're peeing, guys. We don't need to talk.
Well.
Yeah, it's my friends like yours.
That's in review, real quick. What are they again?
Like I said, people that stand too close to you in the grocery store line, mm-hmm. people that still have the please leave your message at the beep voicemail part, you're missing out on valuable voicemails, y'all, and people that try to strike up conversations in terrible places like the urinal. Boom. Don't do it, y'all. No, awesome. I love it.
That was great. Thank you, sir. John Lucan, Derek Kusumaki, it's been real for your man, Jarrell Gilbert. We will catch you next week right here on Talking About Practice FM.